So on the contrary, we are never stopped from scientific investigation by our idea of God. Our idea of God propels us further and deeper into investigation and deeper into knowledge. And it commands us, and it's mechayev us in pursuing knowledge, because knowledge is the root through which we mitoch kach atam makir b'mishomar v'hoya olam. I mean, that's the Sefri, it's Kolot HaRakula, it's Parshas Bereishis, it's everything. It's the Novi, it's all over. Okay, I want to make that point clear, because I think most people just don't understand it. And they think many times, and I see many, many people that think that we, and that's why a lot of times you'll see that people who try to defend Yahadus will join with Christian theologians, as if we're on the same side. We are not on the same side. We're totally different, completely, diametrically opposed. Yes. You're right. I mean, the fact that science has, I mean, like I said, many of the things that the Rambam said, the Rambam said that he showed from our Torah to be correct about physics and time and creatio ex nihilo and all these things. I mean, have today been demonstrated scientifically. That's correct. That's true. That's true. And many, many scientists today believe in what they call an intelligence. There's an intelligence which is the source of everything. I mean, there are many physicists that say that when you really get down to an understanding of matter, they call it mind stuff. They're talking about mind stuff, which means you're not dealing with what we call matter anymore, because matter is something that has to do with our, we have that sense of matter from our interaction through our nervous system with the external world, but it's a very limiting feature. But when the mind takes you much further, you get into a whole different type of existence. And many physicists have called it mind stuff. And this is really along the correct path of Maaseh Bereishis that we would accept. We would accept, like the Ram says, there are many ideas from many thinkers that are correct. I mean, it doesn't mean just because a person thought of it is wrong. Many ideas are correct. Many ideas in the Ram in that very chapter is trying to show that there are many ideas that philosophers and thinkers arrive at that may in fact be exactly the ideas that were lost from Maaseh Bereishis. I mean, we don't know, but we don't think it was follow the knowledge that God allows us to have in the time and era that we live. But we can't do anything more than that. That's based upon the idea that certain things were given through Nevuah, but not all knowledge, even important knowledge, was given through Nevuah. That's a different kind of a system. It's a metaphysical metaphysical phenomenon. It's not a simple thing. But as a matter of fact, Einstein was without a doubt the greatest scientist. He said, he used to make a statement. His statement was, "It's not enough to understand the universe." He says, "But what really drives me is to be able to hope to understand whether God could have made the universe any other way. You see, or this is the only way it could be," which means to say that he recognized clearly from his knowledge of the universe that the universe is an object of a designer, a knowledge from the outside, an external intelligence. I mean, this is Yahadus. Yahadus holds that. That's exactly what Yahadus holds. But my point over here is simply to say that and to make people aware that this question and when you read people who are intelligent people, like I mentioned Weinberg, I mean, they're very shallow understanding of this area, very shallow. A physicist tends to think that, everybody tends to think their knowledge spans every area, but a physicist especially, but a physicist and a metaphysicist is a big jump. It's not such a simple thing. And our Maaseh Bereishis is not just factual physics, but it's a kind of thinking in metaphysics. There's one thing that I want to say. I mean, we as a nation have a certain quality, a certain unique ability. And it's the ability of Chachamim, the really one greatest ability of Chachamim. And the greatest ability of Chachamim is tied very closely with the Midas Anava, with the Midah of humility. Hoy kol tzomei l'chul amayim. Sayin divrei Torah niknin el b'mishehu anav v'shofel. A person has to be an anav, like mayim seeks the lowest point. And part of that anivus, intellectually, where do you see it? How do you have anivus would seem to be an ethical perfection, but you see anivus is also an intellectual perfection. And where is the perfection of anivus in the intellect? Where do you find the perfection? Where do you find the midah, the character of anivus? Where is it? How is it expressed in the human intellect? It's expressed in the ability to study and to exert tremendous effort and knowledge in an area where the person knows he really doesn't know. That is the Midas Anivus transplanted into the sphere of Chachma. But it needs to say that we have tremendous intellectual tolerance. And we're very happy to study an area, even though we know that ultimately we know almost zero. Okay, but nevertheless, we're able to pursue that kind of an area of knowledge. And the same thing is true with Maisa Bereishis. That Maisa Bereishis, even though, and on our plane also, that even though I said we don't know what Maisa Bereishis is today, but nevertheless, it should not prevent us from pursuing the area insofar as we can. We shouldn't say that because we don't know it, so it's not important. That's gaiva. We don't know it, and we're far from, and it's very important, but we still must be willing to know about it, because these are Yisodi Adas. And if a person just says, not important to know that Maisa Bereishis is tied to Yedias Hashem in a very intimate fashion, then he's basically kofer in the Yisodos. And if a person will say, just because I'll never know it, so that's why I don't have to know about it, that's gaiva. We strive to know everything that we can about things that we can gain knowledge from through divrei chachma and divrei nevuah, even though we know that we don't know anything about it. Okay, Yedias Hashem ultimately is impossible. But but that doesn't mean that insofar as we are able to perceive Yedias Hashem, that it's not worthwhile. It is the most worthwhile knowledge that we could have. So in the knowledge that is most worthwhile to us, we know the least. And that is because the concept of anivus. Anivus is really the makar of chachma, the basis of chachma. That's why it's the greatest midah. So therefore, with regard to this, I think let me just say what I think we do know about Maisa Bereishis. Even though I say we don't know Maisa Bereishis, but we mentioned last week the two Rambams, the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos and the Rambam in the Yad, and we said that the Rambam changed from the Sefer HaMitzvos to the Yad. In the Sefer HaMitzvos, he mentioned Torah, in the Yad, he doesn't. So we said that in the Sefer HaMitzvos is relegating himself to the Hano'as HaChochma, which is an aspect of Avas Hashem, and that's found in learning a Masechta as well as learning anything else. And in the Yad HaChazakah, he was talking about the full-blown experience of Avas Hashem, which is only possible through Maisa Bereishis. Only possible through Maisa Bereishis. So, yeah. But there is another connection as well. Because, you see, the Sifri says, V'ahavta Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, and then V'hoyu advar mo'ela asher nechem etzavach hayom al levavecha. And so the Sifri says, Keitzad olav is a makom, V'hoyu advar mo'ela asher nechem etzavach hayom al levavecha. And what does the Sifri finally say? Shemitoch ze'at ato makir b'mi she'omar v'hoyu olam. So we said that there's a transition. But I just want to elaborate a little bit on what that means, the link. There is a link between the two. Last week we mentioned there's a Hanos HaChochma. But when I thought about it, I thought there's another link as well. When I said there's Hanas HaChachma, it is true. But Hanas HaChachma is contingent upon something else. It's contingent upon what is Chachma. You see? Why does the Sefri say, V'ahoyu advar me'la shemitoch kach atamakir b'misha amar v'ahoyu ha'olam? B'misha amar v'ahoyu ha'olam is my sabreishis. Okay? So how do you go from learning a halacha and a mishnah, understanding a piece of Gemara and a Tosfos? How do you get to Maisa Bereshis? It's a big distance, a big jump. One subject has nothing to do with the other. The answer is because in Halacha is found the true Derech HaChachma, the true Derech HaChachma, and the Derech is Bonimus. And then you have to, like the Pasuk says, Emor LaChachma Chosiyat. What does it mean, Emor LaChachma Chosiyat? It means that a person that reaches a certain level of perception of Chochmah, he knows what it is. It has a certain characteristic. He knows what it looks like. And he could spot it anywhere. He could spot it in any subject. He could spot it in psychology. He could spot it in philosophy. He could spot it in astronomy. He could spot it in physics, in economics, in any area. In any area. Because it has a certain kind of a description. It fits a certain pattern. There's a certain sense to it. So what the Sifri is saying, V'hoyu advar me'ela shenoch mitzav chayom al avavecha, is not simply that. It's not just the hanos hachochma, because it's the same hanos hachochma, but there's something more to it than that we didn't say last week, and that is that in the limud hachachma v'hoyu advar ma'ela, in the havayos abaya v'rava, you see, in the havayos of abaya v'rava, you encounter the imprint of chachmas Hashem. Okay, you become familiar with the way man can, in his highest level, perceive Chochmas Hashem. There's a certain characteristic to it. There's a certain sense about it. You can identify it. You can sense it. And where do you find it? You find it in Havayis Abayav Rav. You find it in the Talmud. In V'hoyu Advar Me'la. Shemitoch kachata makir b'misha amar v'hoyu olam. Why? Because if a person learns V'hoyu Advar Me'la, and he sees what real Chochmas Hashem is, and this is the opportunity that a person has to see what it is. Once he knows what it looks like, he'll know when he hears an idea. Is this belong in this group? Does this ring? Does it have the sound of Chochmas Hashem? Or is it a different kind of thinking that has no shaykhs to Chochmas Hashem? You see. So, really, the V'hoyu Advar Mo'ela prepares a person for God's thoughts, so to speak. To understand God's thoughts. God's thoughts, of course, when we say that, we mean only on a human level, because God's thoughts could never be understood by man. But man can understand it on his level, insofar as he can perceive it, you see. Insofar as his Tzelem Elokim allows him, but that is a real thing. Even though it's insofar as he's able to, but it's not nothing, it still is something, and it has a definite description. That's really what the Sifri, that's what the Sifri means. So there is a connection. There is a connection between Maisei Hashem, and that's why the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, I believe, he puts them all together, if I'm not mistaken, doesn't he? Mm-hmm. In the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Sefer V'zeh Shenachshov V'nisbonein V'mitzvosov U'ma'amorov U'pu'ulosov Ad Shenasigeyu V'nene Basagoso B'tachlis Hano. Okay, so he equates them all. It means it's true what we said last week. There's a psychological enjoyment that a person experiences when the soul engages in this area. But the area and the type of thinking is the type of thinking that's found in all areas of Maaseh Hashem. If you There's no such thing as a kind of, that's one way, by the way, you could know whether you're into Maisa Bereshis or not. If it's the same kind of thinking as you find in the Talmud, then you are. If it's not, then you're off track. Can't be a different kind of thing. Has to have the same ring, the same sound, the same enjoyment, has to evoke the same enjoyment in a certain kind and way of thinking. I believe the Rav mentions that in the end of his last book that he wrote, that one day I don't know the exact language he uses, but he says that one day ultimately the world will come to recognize from the Talmud the ways of thinking of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in the universe. Something like, I don't remember exactly, but something to that effect. But it is no doubt, I mean, you see it clearly in the Rambam. Clearly in the Rambam. And not the Rambam, Sifri says it. V'hoyu advarim ha'ela shemitoch kachata makir. What are you makir? The misham avoy olam. So it means that this type of thinking is the thinking that leads you to misham avoy olam. It's the thinking that is the same kind of thinking that is involved in the true Maisa Bereshis, the true physics. So insofar as this is one thing that you can know, insofar as physics does not partake of this kind of thinking, it's not Maisa Bereshis. Doesn't mean it's nothing. A lot of things, a lot of areas are not Maisa Bereshis, and it's also Chachmas Hashem. But it's a different way. It's factual, the way to view it factually. But that's not called being engaged in being misbonein in Maisa Bereshis and Bruv on Ephraim. Yeah, I mean you're right. It works vice versa too. That the true Derech HaTorah cannot be the true Derech HaTorah if the way of thinking is not one which will lend itself to the uncovering of Maisa Bereshis. If it's, you can see that it's not going that direction, that's true, you're right.
That
the opposite. That's right, you're absolutely right. That's true. But what else can we say? What else can we say about it? What else can we say about it? What else can we say about it? The only advice you can do is the advice of the Rambam. That a person has to become Baki B'chol HaTorah Kula first, and then he may be able to delve into a certain amount into it insofar as he's capable of. But it's not something a person can do. I mean, even the Rambam had great, serious questions about in these areas. Okay. And a person wouldn't even know how to deal with the Rambam's questions. It's not for a person. You should read the Rambam has two introductions. One introduction is to a Sefer, and the first introduction is to his Talmud. So if you read the first one, you'll see who he wrote the Sefer for. Okay? Let me just see what we could. There's one more point I wanted to mention. One more point that I think we could say. I mean, I think the points that we have said are not really Maisa Bereshis points, but the points about concerning Maisa Bereshis, which, as I said before, is extremely significant because that's the sort of Kol Torah Kula. But there's something else that we've gone over in this discussion, which I think deserves to be highlighted. And it's something again, which you'll find all these ideas, these main ideas, you'll find not only in the Torah itself, but you'll find it many times in the Navi, because the Navi elaborates on the ideas of the Torah. Like the whole Parshas Bereshis, which Rabbi Yitzchak mentions, is based on, where do you find the explanation? Is it a Pasuk in Tehillim? Okay? Kach Masa Vigid Lama, Lassalem Nachlas Gaim. Okay, because the Navi, of course, expounds on the ideas in the Torah, but the Parsha in the Torah, that which the Navi says, which David HaMelech says, is an explanation of why the Torah starts from Bereshis and not from the first mitzvah. Okay? Chodesh Zeh. So there's one more thing here I think that's an idea that's worth mentioning with regard to this whole discussion of Maisa Bereshis. And that is something, again, the Navi mentions, and it's in last week's Haftarah. Okay? Yeah. Again, I suggest everyone that they really read very thoroughly the Radak in Yeshayo Mem Chavav. Su'umar Menechem Uru Mi Bara Eila. Amotzi B'mispratzvom. L'chulam B'shem Yikro Merov Onim V'amitz Koch Ish Lo Nedar. By the way, Ish Lo Nedar. You know what Ish Lo Nedar means? Ish Lo Nedar means there's not a thing out of place. That's what it means. Everything is all Chochmas Hashem. And not a thing is missing. Not a thing is missing in the universe from Chochmas Hashem. Again, what I'm saying with our system, our Amunah, is the Amunah of Chochmas Hashem. Not a thing is missing. And if you think if a person is studying the universe and something's missing, then he doesn't understand Chochmas Hashem. There's nothing's missing there. Okay. But then the Navi goes on. The Navi says, Loma Soma Yaakov Sadaba Yisrael, Nistra Darki Me'er Hashem. Okay, so this is the question that everybody asks. You ask it Kloli and Prati. That Prati is really Sefer Iyov. Kloli is the Navi. That the Navi asks with regard to Klal Yisrael, that the Klal Yisrael says, where is the justice? Nistara Darkim Ad Hashem Umeyo Lekayim Mishpati Yavar. Okay, but what does the Navi answer? An interesting thing. Navi seems to go over something else. Next pasuk. Halo Yadato Em Lo Shamato. Elokei olam arishem borek tzos haaretz lo yiaf lo yiga ein chek elos v'nasar. So what is the pasuk answer? What is the pasuk answer? Then it goes nosin lo yiaf korach lein onam atzmayarba. And then then it goes v'kovei arishem yachlifu korach. And then he goes acharishu elayin uleumim yachlifu korach. And he calls the nations, interesting thing, he calls the nations. We'll get back to that in a minute. But what are the first pasuk say? First pasuk, I think, says a big yisur. Halo yadata em lo shamata lekei olam ar Hashem borei k'tzos ha'aretz, lo yiyaf lo yiga, ein cheke l'smanaso. So what is Navi saying? Of course, Navi saying you can't understand God. You can't understand God's works. That's true, but there's something more there. Borei k'tzos ha'aretz, lo yiyaf lo yiga, ein cheke l'smanaso. What is Navi saying? The Navi is saying an important yesod. The yesod is that to understand Mishpat HaRishem, what do you have to understand? Maisa Bereshis. Maisa Bereshis. Okay. Alo yadata am lo shamata. Elakei olam HaRishem borei kitzos oretz. Su mor menechem ru mi vareila. So it means to say that the Navi is saying that in order for a person to be in a position to have an understanding of what? Of Mishpat Hashem, what must he understand? He must understand Maisa Bereshis. And you see, I told you, the Ramban that deals with the problem of Rabbi Yitzchak, he deals with it in a very hidden way. Like he goes over the thing quickly, but you don't understand what the answer is. But in the answer, I mentioned last week, what does he have? What's the rest? There's two subjects. Bereshis Bara is Rabbi Yitzchak addressed this question to the parsha of Bereshis Bara, but then he doesn't talk. What about all the Maisei Avos and everything else that happened there? He doesn't mention that. Why? Because that's Mishpat Elokim, and Mishpat Elokim flows from Maisei Bereshis. So we have in our Torah an amazing statement. In other words, the system itself, and that's what Rabbi Yitzchak was showing us, the idea of Rabbi Yitzchak's great Pirush, which is that the beginning of the Sefer Torah is what? Is Briyas Shemayim V'aretz, and to show you that man was enabled by God to share in a certain degree in the knowledge of the creation of the universe, okay? But he doesn't bother with the rest, because the rest is clear. The rest is Mishpat Elokim, which there's implicitly in that setup, implicitly what is it? That you cannot understand Mishpat Elokim unless you understand what? Maisa Bereshis. And that's what the Navi says. Navi says that Yisrael says, Nistra Daki Me'er Hashem, Melakai Mishpat Yavo, where's the Mishpat? Halo Yadata Am Lo Shamata, Elokei Olam Ad Hashem Barak Tzos Haaretz. Ein Cheke L'Sfanasa. Do you understand Maisa Bereshis? You understand Maisa Bereshis? You're not in a position to understand Mishpat. It's an amazing thing. An amazing statement. Amazing thing. It seems like there's no connection between these two subjects. It would seem that there's no connection between these two subjects. Maisa Bereshis is physics. Does a physicist think that justice or that even ethics is related to physics. There's no relationship in the physicist's mind. Absolutely not. One is an objective science. One is a subjective science. But the truth is that that means he has his my subrogation is not my subrogation. His physics is not my subrogation. That is the proof. Because one of the things, aside from the other things that we've mentioned, here you have a clear insight from the Navi and from the Torah about Maisa Bereishis. That Maisa Bereishis is intricately bound with what? Mishpat Elokim. Yeah, Mishpat Elokim. And if you don't understand Maisa Bereishis, or insofar as you don't understand Maisa Bereishis, you will not understand Mishpat Elokim. And insofar as you understand, you have insight into Maisa Bereishis, then you'll have insight into Mishpat Elokim. And that's the Navi. Lo yadatam lo yishayim lo shamata. It's open in the Navi. It's open in the Navi, and it's open, well, not open, but it's in Reb Yitzchak as well. I mean, like, it's pretty clear, but Reb Yitzchak, I mean, just threw out a tremendously deep yisod without elaborating on it. But the Ramban says, what is the rest of the Torah? In other words, after Bereishis is Mishpat Elokim. So Mishpat is tied to Maisa Bereishis. Mishpat is tied to Maisa Bereishis. Who explained this idea? Who really explained this idea, showed this idea to the greatest, to the fullest? Yeah. No, the Rambam's explanation of Moshe Rabbeinu's request. Okay? Because the Pasuk says, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, Hareinos Kodecha, Hodeinos Drachecha. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu answer him? Ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. V'karasi v'shem ad Hashem l'fanecha v'chanosi es asher ocham v'chamti es asher rachem. How will you be able to understand my midos? HaKadosh Baruch Hu was telling Moshe Rabbeinu, insofar as chanun v'racham, who I give rachem to, who I don't, which is mishpat alakim. Why? Because ani avir kol tuvi al panecha. What is Tuvi? The Rambam says. What is God's good? Good is what God called good. Vayar Hashem ki tov. And Maisa Bereishis. After every unit of creation, Vayar Hashem ki tov. Vayar Hashem ki tov. Vayar Hashem is kol asher asav yitov mod. So Tuvi, the Rambam says, it's a vague. The Torah has a very special style, a certain vagueness and yet a certain precision, which is combined, the vagueness and a precision. So the average person just reads over, looks very vague. But the person that's a chacham will find the greatest precision in the words of the Torah. Ani aver kol tuvi al panecha. What does it mean, kol tuvi? Oh my good, what does that mean? But the Rambam says very clearly what it means. It means what the Torah says it means. Vayar Hashem ki tov. What does it mean? It means God says this is good. That's tuvi. Tuvi means that which God considers good. What does God consider good? Maisa Bereishis. So you see that Moshe Rabbeinu wanted to understand Mishpat Hashem, the Chanosi es Asher Ocham. HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him, yes, but first, Ani Avir Kol Tuvi Al Panecha. When you'll understand Maisa Bereishis, then you'll understand my Mishpat. That's the Rambam. But what I want to show you is not just the Rambam. I mean, to me, it's Torah. They say the Rambam was the one that opened our eyes to what the Pasuk means. But it's the Navi, and it's Rabbi Yitzchak. It's called Tarkula. It's Yisod of called Tarkula. Yes. It's a very strange formula. It's a strange formula, but that formula is a Yisod, not Torah. It may not be a satisfying formula because it doesn't satisfy us on an emotional plane. We hardly understand what it means, but, as I said before, we can't just study the Torah for things that fall in line with our emotional satisfaction. That's not, no, the Tachlis HaNoah that the Rambam is talking about is an intellectual satisfaction, not things that fall. So we have to study things and Yesodi Adas that are alien to us. That's the way a person gains knowledge, not by staying with things that he's comfortable with. Things are comfortable with, you're not going to move anywhere. But this Yisod, this fundamental principle, this formula is a formula implicit in the Nevi'im and in the Torah and in the whole Bakasha of Moshe Rabbeinu and HaKadosh Baruch Hu's answer to Moshe Rabbeinu. Okay? Yes. Yeah, you're right. I was going to mention it. Yeah, Maxim is mentioned right. that Eov, the same thing is true in the final answer to Eov. That God makes recourse to Maisa Bereshis. Maisa Bereshis. Well, we did Eov, I believe we mentioned it. Yeah. The Ram points it out. The Ram mentions it. Yeah. That's correct. That's another source where you see the same Eov was a personal justice. Okay, but the Navi, both answers are the same, because in order to understand Mishpat HaLekin, what do you have to understand? You have to understand Maisa Bereshis. That formula is an important formula. It's an important formula. Yeah. There's no question, and you'll see in the Pasha. I'd like to go into it, but I don't know which way to go, the Navi or the Pasha Vayera. But I'm thinking about. But you're right. But you'll see. But who says that? Who says that Avraham Avinu had the idea of Maisa Bereshis? Ram says. That the way Avraham Avinu was Zocha to Nevuah was because of his own knowledge and speculation, which led him to a correct understanding of the Maisa Bereshis. That's what made Avraham Avinu. Okay, it wasn't just he was a good man. He's the greatest chacham, the greatest philosopher, the greatest thinker. So through his das, he was able to uncover Maisa Bereshis, and through that, he was in a position to discuss on a human, insofar as a human being can, with a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Ashofei Kol Haaretz Le'yaseh Mishpat. I mean, in yesterday's parsha. Okay, but we'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. Yeah. Why is that so? I mean, do we have to stop here? We can stop here and say, that's it. We accept it axiomatically. I mean, it's a Yesod and Kol Torah Kula. Or can we have some insight into the connection? What do you say? I think on one plane, it's very simple. On one plane, it's very simple. What it means is, I mean, it's something which has great depth and mystery to it, but it's also something which you can have an idea about, okay? And that is that the Mishpat HaLokim has got to be tied to the objective of the creation. You understand what I mean? It has got to be, it's just not logically possible otherwise. In other words, we use an example, a simple example from the realm of human activity, even, okay? You'd say if a person constructs a skyscraper, and what the destiny of that skyscraper is going to be is intricately tied with the objective of the skyscraper. I mean, you can't divorce the two, okay? So in order to understand, you see, Mishpat HaLekim, you have to understand the objective of the creation. Can't be otherwise, because God is the source of all existence, so it's His creation. So how could you ask about His Mishpat when you don't understand what His objective in the creation is? It's like a person is completely blindsided. The mashal would be like a person trying to figure out what this skyscraper is, when the only thing he ever saw was an Indian, and he only saw a teepee. He said, "What is this?" So would not be able to figure out in the least what the fate of this big structure is going to be. Okay. Yeah, that's correct. But I just want to point out something. That when we speak about the Maaseh Hashem, you have to understand that we borrow from our own experiences, but like the Rambam repeats many times again and again and again straight throughout the Sefer, it's only a borrowed example. It has nothing in common except the term, what the Rambam says. Which means to say like this, that we say objective by the skyscraper, you could say objective. By God, you don't say objective. By God, what is the, but we have something that's a substitute for that. Something that's closer. Although, again, we can't know it, but Yehada says we can get closer to it. We can approach it, so to speak. What is the word that we use instead of God's objective? What is the word that we supplement to that? How's the Torah supplement? Tov. Vayar Hashem ki tov. That's what it means. Vayar Hashem ki tov is an expression that's in lieu of a human expression of objective. Vayar Hashem ki tov. It means its existence is good. That means it's in line with God's objective, which is a borrowed phrase, okay? But I mean, that's, I just want to point this out to you. Vayar Hashem ki tov is as close as we can get to an expression or to an idea of the purpose of the universe. It means Vayar Hashem, it is good. Its existence is good. Okay, its existence is good. So that's why ani avir kol tuvi al ponecho v'korosi v'shem ad Hashem l'fanecho v'chanosa she'arachim v'chanta she'arachim. His Moshe Rabbeinu was given an insight into knowledge of Mishpat Olekim on a level that no human being could ever attain, because he was given insight into Vayarad Hashem Kitov. Vayarad Hashem Kitov. He understood what the Pasuk means, Vayarad Hashem Kitov. And because he understood Vayarad Hashem Kitov, Ani Aver Kol Tuvi Al Panacha, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him. And by the way, that's also B'chol Beisi Nemanu. And Ramban quotes the Pasuk, B'chol Beisi Nemanu. Beisi means the universe. B'chol Beisi Nemanu. It means that Moshe Rabbeinu is trustworthy with regard to all ideas of the universe, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him these ideas in the Maria Nevuah, Pel Peh of the his Nevuah Pel Peh, which was Ani Aver Kol Tuvi Al Panecho, in the Nevuah of the where he reached the Yediyah, the ultimate Yediyah, which involved Harinos Kvadecho, Harinos Drachecho, in that Nevuah. Okay. So therefore, what I'm saying is that insofar as we don't know Maisa Bereishis, but at the same time we are fortunate that through Nevuah we could know certain things about the Maisa Bereishis. Okay, the things we mentioned. Okay, it's three things basically. You know, it's how we stand vis-a-vis science, which is extremely important, and also the nature of the Chachmah, and the nature of the true Chachmah of physics, the true physics, not the physics of the world calls physics, the true physics, and also the fact that this kind of a knowledge is tied to Yediyas Hashem insofar as Mishpat is concerned. There's another pasuk that really shows that also, emphasizes this, underlines it, which without this idea, the pasuk doesn't sound intelligible. Which is the pasuk? The pasuk in Yirmiyahu. Okay? Ki im bezos yishal ha-mishalel haskel v'yadoa osi. But it doesn't stop there, like the Rambam says. But ki ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat etzdaka ba'aretz ki ve'ela chafatz niyam Hashem. It means the true Yediyas Hashem has to be tied to Yediyas Hashem of Maisa Bereishis, and insofar as that Yediyah, insofar as a person has that Yediyah, he can have a Yediyah of ani Hashem osa chesed mishpat etzdaka ba'aretz. Tied, Mishpat Hashem is tied to Maisa Bereishis. Okay. Just let me, while I'm on the Navi over here, let me just finish off with the Navi from last week's parsha. And what does the Navi say? It's interesting. Navi says, yeah, see, the Navi really gives two answers. One answer the Navi gives, you can't know. Okay? It's a funny thing, because the Navi really would seem to contradict himself. On the first he says, Halo yadatem lo yishamata ala keelam ad Hashem barak tesoris lo yiyef lo yiga en chekel es vanasa. You can't understand it? But then he says, Achrisho alayim, alum yachlifu chach, yikshu ozi daber, yachtov la mishpat nekrova. Let's have an argument, he says, and let's have a battle, and we'll see who's right. Okay? And then he gives his arguments. Mi heir mi mizrach, tzedek yikrael l'raglo, yitin lafon of goyim umlochim yar, yitin ka'ofar karbo, ka'kashnid of kashto. Yir defem yavar shalom, arv raglo v'lo yavar. What is he talking about? He's talking about the tremendous hashgacha that Avram Avinu enjoyed, that Avram Avinu had. The hashgacha of Avram Avinu. That how is it possible with 300 people he was able to conquer armies? Okay? So the Navi gives an answer. He says, what do you mean there's no hashgacha? And he goes back to Avram. Mi heir mi mizrach. Tzedek yigrael l'ragla. How is it possible to have a phenomenon like Avram Avinu? And then the Navi goes on. He says, mi paul vasa karadars merosh. Anir Hashem rishim v'zachar miyuh. Ro yim v'yirok. Tzor sar secharadu. Then it says, but he says, in spite of that, Vayachazek chorosh asorif, machlik patish asolim palm, omala devik tovu, vayachazkeb masmum layimot. So he says, and in spite of the hashgacha that was shown to Avram Avinu, that the whole world saw that it's basically being impossible for any person to accomplish what he did without hashgacha, nevertheless, what did they do? They went back to their avodah zarah. That's what it says. I mean, that's what the post says. Ishre, 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 yazoru, lochiv, un yomach hazak, vayachazek chorosh asorif. And they went back to making their idols, and they said, oh, this is very good. Now it's the idol's perfect. It's beautiful. Right? So then the Navi cuts off, and he says, Vata Yisrael Avdi, Yaakov Hashem B'chaticha, Zera Avram Oavi. So the Navi gives a double answer. It's interesting. See, the Navi wasn't just concerned. I mean, he had to give the true answer, the ultimate answer, but it didn't mean that for people that are on a plain level, there's no answer. See, it's an interesting thing. He gave another answer also. The answer of Maisa Bereshis is the absolute correct answer. That's Alo Yadata Lo Shemata Lekei Olamad Hashem Barik Tzosaretz. If you don't have any insight into that, you're not in a position to talk about Mishpat Hashem. Okay? That's the ultimate answer. So only Moshe Rabbeinu understands Mishpat Hashem. Chanos is Yerachon, Rechant is Yerachon. But it doesn't mean that there's no answer. It doesn't mean it's an amazing thing. The Navi is saying, but it doesn't mean there's no answer for the ordinary person. There is a different kind of an answer. What is the answer that the Navi gives? The Navi says like this. The Navi says, the answer is Avram Avinu. Which means to say the following. That, yep. We have questions of Hashgachas Hashem. We have questions of Hashgachas Hashem. But the Navi says, yeah, but there's two ways to ask a question. One way you ask a question is because it hurts you. It affects you. So you ask the question, you see. But that's a different kind of question. Then there's an objective question, you see. What is the difference between the objective question and the subjective question? The difference is, if you're dealing with phenomena that surround you immediately, so then you're asking a subjective question. But if you deal with phenomena that don't affect you anymore, you see, then you're dealing with objective phenomena. So the Navi says like this. Of course, Klai Yisrael is asking the question, that Nistra document Hashem Melakai Mishpati Yavor. So the Navi, first of all, he says, look, you really take a step back a minute, because you really can't understand Mishpat Hashem ultimately. But nevertheless, you can gain insight and a principle which will help you in your dilemma. Okay? First of all, forget about the present phenomena. Because the present phenomena you're engaged in because of a subjective interaction with the phenomena. And because of that, you can't think clearly. It's not possible for you to think clearly. So remove yourself from the immediate, from the present. But go back, mi heyer mi mizrach. Go back to a long time ago, a phenomenon that happened a long time ago, and study it, and then you'll find the answer. You see? But the phenomenon that happened a long time ago was the phenomenon that happened to Avram Avinu. Avram Avinu was successful in an unbelievable way, a way that defies the natural law. And it was something which was obvious to everyone that was present. So first of all, you see You see two things from that. And you see the Navi points it out. By the way, you know, it's an interesting thing. The Navi is first talking to Klal Yisrael, okay? And he says, Lama Soma Yaakov, right? And then he says, Hachrishu Elayim, Ul'umim Yachlifu Choach. Why does he switch to Hachrishu Elayim? It's an interesting thing. He says, I'll call the nations now. Let's I'll be mevakech with the nations. Why is he interested in the nations over there? You see? I mean, she has to answer Klal Yisrael, not the nations. But the answer is, because part of the Navi was very sensitive to the needs and to the emotions of the Klal. And part of the emotions of the Klal and part of the pain, and a large part of the pain, when a person experiences pain, it's very hard for them to dichotomize, to know why he has that pain. Because a person is not a physical entity, he's a psychological entity. More a psychological entity than a physical entity. So therefore, much of the pain that a person experiences is on the psychological. He blames the physical, because that may be the where it starts, but he doesn't realize how much is wrapped up in the psychological, not in the physical. And that's why you could see people that are unfortunate in a physical way. They could be more happy than a person that's the healthiest person. A person is essentially a psychological phenomenon. So the Navi recognizes that. He addresses the people, and he knows that part of the reason that they're suffering is because they're defeated in the eyes of the nation. That's the most difficult thing to take. Being defeated. Knowing that the other nation, what is it, like the one that expresses it the most beautifully is the Megillas Eicha. Megillas Eicha, where the Megillas Eicha mentions many times about how the nations look at us, ridicule us, the lag and kill us, lag la kill us, by Gain, they say in Tachnon, and the Navi, it's often the Navi. That is the most difficult thing to bear, that they are laughing and ridiculing us, thinking that they're successful. So the Navi immediately says, Hacharishu Elayim. He says, let me call these nations to judgment. He addressed himself to the nations because he knew that was really the pain of Klal Yisrael. It's true, they suffered physically, but the main pain was wrapped up in the psychological, that they're defeated by the nation. So the Navi set up a scene where he's challenging the nations. You see, and the challenge and defeating the nations in this challenge, you see, was the greatest source of strength to Klal Yisrael, to remove them from their Don't worry about it. Don't be concerned. It's very painful now to endure the ridicule and the laughter, but eventually it's going to be 100% reversed, and that we know is a fact. And that's why he addresses himself to the nations. Very beautiful. In other words, it takes every aspect. So the Navi says, so what do you see from Avraham Avinu? See two things. First of all, you see here was a Nes Nifla, which means it was something which Avraham Avinu showed that defied the natural law. But it didn't, you see, but you have to understand something. It wasn't just in defiance of the natural law, because defying the natural law, so what? So what am I supposed to do? I see something I don't understand, so what does it mean? But no, it was Avraham Avinu who had a whole philosophy. And what was his philosophy? His philosophy was not an unnatural philosophy. It wasn't a philosophy of miracles. His philosophy was a philosophy of ideas. A philosophy that if a person lives in a certain way and is in line with a certain Yedias Hashem and lives in a certain manner, that there is a natural phenomenon which will put him in a state where the natural law will be subservient to him. It wasn't a philosophy of the miraculous. It wasn't a philosophy that's of the supernatural, a crazy kind of idea. It was a philosophy that made sense, a philosophy of understanding, something that you could explain in terms of how the Ashgacha works and how the universe works, and he had an understanding, and it was a natural thing that he was successful against those nations. But what do you see? What do the other nations do? in spite of the fact that they lived and they were able to see and hear not just the ideas of Avraham, but see them in practicality. But it didn't help them any. They went right back to the Avodah Zarah. Another gives a vivid description of the stupidity of the Avodah Zarah. It went right back to their stupidity. It sounds easy. I mean, it sounds easy for us to laugh at them and to mock them, because, of course, it's obviously stupid. But the truth of the matter is that people today do the exact same thing. Maybe not in the. Maybe they disguise it a little better. Okay, so they don't actually. Get all they do, and in a certain level they do also get involved in the building of others. But it's the same thing. It's the same thing. It means the ability of man to deny reality and the ideas of Chachma. That's what the Navi says. So the Navi really comforts Klal Yisrael by showing them two things. That the truth of the matter is all your kashas about the Ashgacha. First of all, we have a Masorah, we know Bracious Baralakim, that you can't on the Avikulti Yopanacha. Ultimately, this is not your area. But there's something you can know about. Don't think you just walk away, just give an answer like that. Doesn't help anybody, okay? So I don't know. Fine. But the Navi wanted to help Klal Yisrael. So the Navi said, but you should know that the ones, Ata Yisrael Avdi, Vata Yisrael Avdi Yaakov Asher Bechartichu, Zera Avram Ohavi. So the hashgacha is tied to the one, and it's infallible, will never fail. The one that has the ideas of Avraham Avinu. Did the hashgacha fail him? Never fail him. Why? Because he had the true ideas. He was Zera, and you are the ones that are Zera Avraham Avinu. So you have that hashgacha from him, and that's really the whole bracha Morgan Avraham. Morgan Avraham. So the Navi took them out of their immediate scene, and he showed them the objective hashgacha and what it depends upon, and what a person has to do. It's there, but you have to remember it's there, but it's not so easy. You see, there were other people that saw what Avraham Avinu was doing, and they heard his philosophy, and they even saw the way he lived and how the order of the natural law was subservient to him. Didn't affect them at all. They went right back. But the Torah guarantees the Ashgacha for such an individual who has the true ideas and lives by those ideas, it will never fail. That won't fail. So once the Navi puts it in that framework, then an individual has to think to himself, Klal Yisrael has to think to himself, am I living on that level where, like Avraham Avinu, where I have such a kasha? That's the question. Am I living on that level, you see? And Navi indirectly gave tochacha to Klal Yisrael, but in a very kind way. Because it simply showed... He showed the real hashgacha and where it's guaranteed it'll never fail, but you have to know where it exists. It exists in Magen Avram. It exists in that kind of an individual. So first of all, so Navi really gave a answered beautifully, and it's not so easy because you see there were people there, and they were also people. And you see, in spite of the fact that they heard what he said, in spite of the fact they saw the way he was able to conquer the Malachim with a few hundred people, and nevertheless it didn't affect them at all. So you see, it's not so easy to listen to that idea. But because many times a person thinks the Ashgacha is not working, but what's not working is Zera Avram Oavi. It's not working is they're not the ideas of Avraham are not really implanted in their minds, and that's why the Ashgacha is failing. So, but it's guaranteed that the Ashgacha will work in such an individual, and it's also guaranteed for the Zera Avraham. So the Navi really he answered the question in the abstract metaphysical and also in terms of the practical, and also in terms of the emotional. Okay. Yeah. I just want to mention something that Pacey mentioned that I think is extremely significant, and that is it ties into what we were saying. That we were saying that the Yedias Hashem, that Koch Masav Higid Liamo L'Seis Lam Nachlas Gayim, is Koch Masav Higid Liamo is Maisa Bereshis. Maisa Bereshis is always the way we know HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The hello? That's something wrong with this. Okay, let's see. Yeah. So therefore, I mean, Bizman Hazeh, we have to realize that, like the Rambam says in the Maran Avuchim, that sciences advance. And astronomy, he mentions, in his day, was far more advanced than it was in the days of Aristotle. And in our days, there's no question that our knowledge of the universe has expanded dramatically since the time of the Rambam. So therefore, Koch Masav Higid Liamo means there was a Mesorah with regard to Maisa Bereshis, and I pointed out several elements which are really truly remarkable and that we have that still remain from that Mesorah of Maisa Bereshis. And Maisa Bereshis, I mean, is the vehicle, the method through which we're makir mishama vayolam. I mean, it's Maisa Bereshis. It's all through the Navi, all through from the first word of the Torah. So therefore, what I want to say is that there were many writings that were that was debated. A lot of debates about their authenticity, whether they were authentic or they weren't authentic. And a lot of debates among scholars, among our scholars, as to whether they were authentic or not. There is a method that we have today that you could know whether it was authentic or not. And that is that any writings that, when they talk about Maisa Bereshis, they mention the four elements, you could know that it was not authentic. Because the four elements is an Aristotelian concept of the universe, and we know that it was an early understanding of the universe, which is inaccurate, not true. So we are today in a position to know more than we were able to years ago. In terms of the authenticity of certain sources, any source that mentions the four elements cannot be authentic. Yes. The point that I want to make is this: that Maisa Bereshis is you can't say the whole source. I mean, you can't. There could be many things. You know, the Gemara says there was a Sefer Yosifah, which they said you're not allowed to read Sefer Yosifah. It's Ben Sira. So the Gemara says Ben Sira was a Sefer that was far from Chitzonim. And the Gemara says, nevertheless, Mili Tava Dis Beidashina. Good things, there are good things in there. And the Gemara says, these things are the good things in there, we learn. But, our method is that if something is true, it's true, like the Rambam says. Shema emes mimi shamro. If it's true, it's true. If it's an idea, it's an idea. But authenticity, the claim to authenticity, once you see that the Sefer has things in it that are not authentic, then already the whole claim of its authenticity is not valid anymore. Doesn't mean that there can't be good things in there that were taken from other Maimori Chazal or things like that. I mean, that's certainly possible, and you have to look into it to see. But the claim of authenticity is broken because of the fact that Koach Masav Higid Lamo means Maisa Bereshis. And Maisa Bereshis is not an unimportant thing. So if you're going to start construing the universe in terms of the four yesodos and what follows, and then building on this, this is not an insignificant part of the Sefer. You can't say, well, this is an insignificant part of the Sefer, and therefore we can overlook it. It was like in Yiddish to say a greis, you know, a mistake. I mean, it can't be such a thing, because you're dealing with something which is essential, which is essential. So if the essential is corrupt, I mean, the rest of it, you can't say too much for the rest of it. Other than that, it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, there are many things that are not authentic, but people mix in them things that are good. Mamar Chazal could be contained in there, and other things. We don't dismiss anything. Even the Sefer Ben Sira Gemara says, Mili Tavadis Be Darshinin, good things we darshin, because Shema Emes Mishamra. But the authenticity, the claim that this is authentically a Masorah from Sinai, cannot be if it's based on the four Yesodos, because that's an Aristotelian conception of the universe, which we know today is false. So we're at an advantage, I mean, today, because of the knowledge that we have. I mean, we shouldn't look down at knowledge that God makes available to us through Chachomim. I mean, this is Koch Masav Higid Liamav. This is the greatest thing. I mean, my Sabrashis is the greatest thing, and we, that's one thing that Al Masara, all Abale Masara, say Peh Echad. I mean, the whole Masara Kol Tar Kula, is that everything is emes. Emes is the, if there's something emes, that's the ultimate criterion. So anyone that just dismisses modern science because they want to maintain a belief system, that's keneged kol ha'tarkula. That's against, then he's a kofer biker, basically. So I just want to mention, I mean, I think this is an important point that Pacey mentioned, that in our day we could really know certain things that were not knowable, I mean, years ago, because of the advance of science. I mean, it's a significant point. Okay. I mean, all right. There's something I wanted to take up. We're doing the area of Kehelas. Gemara and Shabbos. Gemara Shabbos says that Bikshu Ligno Sefer Kehelas. They wanted to put it away. Okay, they wanted to conceal Kehelas. Why? Because he says, Meneshe Dvarav Sosrim Zezeh. Okay, because he contradicts himself. Nema Loganzu. So it says, Meneshe Tchiloso Divrater Vesofa Divrater. So we explain what it means. It means to say that if he would have, that Kehelas really was going on a different area, the psychological area. The area in man which is the most powerful psychologically. A person is looking for satisfaction with himself in terms of his ambition. And it's an analysis of the main drive of man, that which is responsible for everything you see in terms of human accomplishment. I mean, when you think in terms of human accomplishment, there's a source for it. The source comes from a certain psychological element of man, a very powerful force in man, and that's the Yisroel. It's called Yisroel because Yisroel means it's more than a person needs to survive. Something extra. The extra. It refers to it as that which is extra. Okay. That which is not, which is beyond what a person needs. So it's satisfying some kind of a need, a powerful need. It's responsible for human success. It's responsible for things that man is proud of, and it's beyond his necessities. The Gemara says that so Chazal say that that they wanted to put the Sefer in Geniz, but they didn't, because the beginning is the return and the end is the return. So explain, the beginning is the return means that he wasn't talking about where a person should place their energies. That the Torah already determined. But he's talking about, insofar as man is a psychological phenomenon, So we wanted to analyze that part of man which is driven towards other areas, namely what we would call success. So Mayisim Lanu B'Cholamol She'Yamol Tachas HaShemesh. Okay, it means after the Shemesh. It's under the Shemesh. Under the Shemesh meaning the world, our world. Our world. Okay, but not the world of ideas, which precedes the Shemesh. But then the Gemara still gets. Gemara says, and the end is the return too. We explain, what does it mean the end is the return? Because in the end it says, Sov Dovar Kol Nishma, so Akim Yerov, that's Mitzvos, or Shmor Kizek Kol Adam. Okay, so the Gemara says it says that if he came to a valid conclusion also. Even though it's true that he started off and he wasn't going against Divrei Torah, but if he would have come to no conclusion, if he would have said, look, life is just frustrating and there's no answer. There's no answer. So then they wouldn't have had the Sefer in Kisvei Kodesh. But the Sefer has a good ending. What is the good ending? The good ending is that So Chazal say, "My kizek kol adam." Amar Rabbi Elazar, "Kol adam kulalam nivrel b'shvil zeh." The whole universe was created only because of this. Rabbaba Bar Kan Amar shokol zeh keneged kol adam kulo. You can weigh this against the entire universe. Shimon ben Azay Amar, Vamilo Shimon ben Zoma Amar, Lo Niver Kol Olam Kulo Olu Letzeve Zeh. Okay, the whole world was only created to be an accompaniment for this. Okay, so what are Chazal saying? What Chazal is saying is that a person, ultimately, Sof Davar Kol Nishma means that ultimately there is no real satisfaction for the Yisrael. But the fact is that a person has the ability psychologically to somehow to gain some kind of satisfaction from the Yisrael. But he has to use his mind in order, it's not going to happen in a natural way, but he has to use his mind, and with his intelligence he can have that satisfaction. But what does he have to do? He has to realize that the entire universe was created for this. So a person, what he means to say is that a person is attracted to the entire universe, because that's where success is. Success is in the world. But when the person reflects on the fact that as much and as the greatest success that a person can have, the ultimate success, kol olam kulo, that was only created in God's eye, that was only for this purpose. So therefore, this is far greater. So then he could transfer the emotional need and satisfaction for success can be transferred to this sphere. When he remembers to look at it in the true objective framework, which is God's framework. Lo nivra kol olam kulo ela b'shvil zeh. And the second pshat is a little more difficult. Second pshat is shokul zeh keneged kol olam kulo. An interesting thing. It sounds like Chazal saying the same thing three times. You see, you have different mandamrim over here. What is the second thing? Shokul zeh keneged kol. This is, you can weigh this against the entire universe. Yeah. What does it mean? It's an interesting thing. Whenever you have shokel, it's a funny kind of a thing. Like Gemara says about Chazal said about Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu is shokel keneged kulam. If you put him on a scale against the whole Klal Yisrael, he's equal. He's equal. You have a lot of times you have the Chazal use that expression. This is shokel keneged kulam. You know. Now, what does it mean? Shokel keneged. What does it mean? It means that Moshe Rabbeinu there's a quantitative equality between these two. You see, I mean, it doesn't make any sense. I mean, it doesn't make any sense. It means you take away one of Bnei Yisrael, so then the scale will tip more in favor of Moshe Rabbeinu. If you put one back on, it'll be equal. I mean, what is the meaning of shokel? But the meaning of shakul really is because on the surface it would seem the Gemara is not giving you a good answer. Gemara is a shakul, zek, and neged, kol, olam, kul. So they're equal. So then your emotions want to go towards that. I mean, it's equal. Yeah, but you have to understand what when Chazal say shakul, what they mean is in a different sense. You see, it doesn't mean that Moshe Rabbeinu is equal quantitatively to Klal Yisrael. But what it means is shakul keneged kula means that the whole entity could never exist without this or that. See, that's what it means. Shakul keneged kula means that you couldn't have the whole Matan Torah, Klal Yisrael, the whole system of mitzvahs could not exist unless you had these two elements. Moshe Rabbeinu is one element, Klal Yisrael is another element. Shakul keneged kula is not a quantitative, it's not an equation, it's not a quantitative equality. You see, what it means is, in terms of the plan, there are two elements that are mutually indispensable. You can't do without each one. So it means to say, it's not possible to view them in a quantitative sense. You can't view them in a quantitative sense. That's really what it means. Shakul keneged kulam. Without Klal Yisrael, there wouldn't be any system of Torah. Without Moshe Rabbeinu, there wouldn't be. He's shakul keneged kulam. It means, on the contrary, it's not a quantitative equality. It means, in terms of existence, it's impossible to have the whole entity without these two components. So these two components become identified as qualitative components. Qualitative, not quantitative. You see. That's what Chazal mean over here also. That ki ze kol adam, it means shakul ze keneged kol olam kulo. That without this, there would be no universe, and that without the universe, you could not have the universe without this world of ideas. And the world of ideas would not exist without the universe. So it's shakul keneged kol olam kulo. Shakul keneged kol olam kulo places it in a different frame of reference, in a different frame of existence. So it gives it a qualitative value, an infinite value, a value that you can't really quantify. Okay, that's really what it's doing. That's what it means. Shakul keneged kol olam kulo means that the universe would not exist without this, and this would not exist without the universe. This world of the world of ideas. In other words, shakul keneged kulo. So, and same thing Talmud Torah Shalom. Eldron Shalom Shir says, but Talmud Torah keneged kulam. What is Talmud Torah keneged kulam? It means if you weigh Talmud Torah, it's going to be equal to all the mitzvahs. That doesn't make any sense. It means to say, you wouldn't have one without the other. Without Talmud Torah, if there was no mitzvah of Talmud Torah, there wouldn't be any mitzvahs, and vice versa. If there were no mitzvahs, there would be no mitzvah of Talmud Torah. It's shakul keneged kulam. It means these two elements are indispensable. So therefore, that's what it means. It means to say that because the world of Chachma is inestimable. It's inestimable. That's Shakul Keneged Kulam. That's the second pshat. It's inestimable. Okay. So the third pshat. Those are the two pshat. The third pshat is that Kol Olam Kulo Nivel Letzeves Zeh. To accompany this, that's already a psychological. That's a psychological phenomenon, which means to say that a person's all the worldly pleasures that an individual has are only made as an accompaniment for the world of, for the person that's involved in the world of Chachma, which means to say that basically, while it's true that the world of ambition is frustrating, but if Shlomo HaMelech would have come to the conclusion that it's frustrating and that's all there is to it, it wouldn't be a Kitzvei Kadosh. But no, you came to another conclusion. There is something to it. It's a completely different idea. The first two ideas are to show you what the value is. And one it says it's inestimable, and the other one it says this is the objective of Kol Olam Kulo. But the third memra is telling a completely different idea. It's a psychological idea, which is that the world of that a person looks for, the world of human satisfaction, of human psychological satisfaction, is only true as an accompaniment, but as a primary objective, it's frustrating. So it means to say that was his conclusion. His conclusion was that ambition, human ambition, per se, is ultimately frustrating, and everything he said in the Sefer is true, and he shows all the different ways that it's frustrating, but the end is, it's not something that you throw away, it's not something completely bad, because a person can enjoy it. But how? As an adjunct. If he's involved in the true world, then it's very nice. In other words, a person can have a side satisfaction from the world, but it'll only be satisfying if it's a side thing. If it becomes an essence, if he tries to get more out of it than it really can offer him, then he's going to become live in the world of frustration. So if the person's in the world of ideas and he enjoys things that are tachas hashemesh, he enjoys a beautiful day, it's very nice as long as that's not what he's looking for. But it's a side thing. But if that's where he's looking for his pleasure and his satisfaction, he's going to be a very frustrated individual. That's the last shot. But
you review the first one, Lo Nivra Ela Bishvilza.
Lo Nivra Bishvilza means that the entire creation was only made in order that man can live the world of ideas. That's the purpose. That's the objective. The objective is Torah. Okay? You understand what I mean? That's the objective. That's the first one. Now, what's the objective? The objective of all these things, of the whole creation, is Torah. That's like the Rambam says, for instance, that the Rambam mentions, I think, the most extreme example the Rambam mentions is that the famous case with a philosopher walks by on a sunny day and he sits in the shade of a wall of an empire. The whole empire only existed in order for that he should have that moment so he should be able to enjoy Chachma. So everything was created for that purpose. That's the first one. So therefore, when an individual learns Torah, even though learning Torah is something which is going away from this area, it's in the opposite direction. I mean, that's really the pasuk Zosatar Adam Kiyamos Bohel. It means a person has to remove it. When a person learns, he's involved in a very strange kind of a thing. Because if he's really learning Lishma, it means he's doing something that has no objective, basically. It means he's not doing it for any kind of purpose or ambition. He's just, his mind is freely engaging in pursuing ideas. I mean, he's on vacation, basically. He's not really doing anything for any purpose at all. So he's removing himself from his whole world of ambition and the world of accomplishment. I mean, there's no accomplishment. He's just taking time off completely just to engage for the sake of understanding in an obscure chazal. I mean, what is he going to get out of it? Nothing more than just an idea. I mean, there's nothing. He's going in the opposite direction. It's Adam Kiyamos Baal, basically. It's tantamount to for an average person, tantamount to Misa. I mean, he's leaving the world of accomplishment. He's just completely taking off from life. He's just for the purpose of just understanding. It's a completely free activity. It's an activity for its own sake. It has no goal whatsoever. But what Shlomo Melech says is that a person's need for satisfaction, you see, can still be attained when he reflects. If he reflects on it and says, yeah, but this is really the purpose of the entire world. Is the entire world for man was created, so man should be able to engage in this kind of activity. So this is the purpose. So when he thinks about that, he gains He gains that satisfaction. That's the method through which he gains the satisfaction. That's the first pshat. That's the first pshat. Yeah. The second pshat is an objective pshat. The first pshat is more of a subjective pshat. It's saying that this is the purpose that God created the whole world is in terms of human activity. But the second pshat of shakul zekeneg kol olam kulo, it means that its objective existence in the framework, from the standpoint of the framework of the Creator. That's a different kind of a thing. In other words, the first one is in terms of the activity of the individual. The human activity, all of human activity, aspires for this one, objective. So that's in terms of the framework of human activity. You see. But shakul zekeneg kol olam kulo means to say that in the eyes of the Creator of the universe, this and the entire creation are equally indispensable. Okay, that's like the pasuk in lo brisi yom v'leil chuk shemayim v'aretz lo samti. So it means in lo brisi yom v'leil chuk shemayim v'aretz lo samti. It means that one without the other would never exist. So one is from the standpoint of human activity, when a person's engaged in the activity of learning. So there is a certain satisfaction that I'm doing that for which I was created for. So even though I don't have any primary sense of ambition and satisfaction, but on a cognitive level, my cognition tells me that this is really the greatest accomplishment. So it's accomplishment which is switched to knowledge. Knowledge dictates that this is the that this is where it should be, even though primarily it's not going there. It's a secondary maneuver, so to speak. But it's not a maneuver. I mean, it's a reality. But it's a secondary secondary step, and another second. You need another logical, intellectual step in order to reach it. You see, so it's not complete frustration. The second pshat is simply from the standpoint, from God's standpoint. It's shakul keneged kol olam kulo. That's whenever it says shakul, that's what I mean. It means that, that from the standpoint of it's invaluable. You can't ascribe a value to it. So even though, I mean, each one is true. I don't believe it's a machlekes in Chazal. I believe that each one, each dimension is correct, because the three are all correct, and the three aspects of the mode of satisfaction that a person should derive, should be able to satisfy the ambitious drive through these three ideas, that this is the objective of all activity. So when a person realizes how much energy he has in all activity, he realizes this is the objective, so then it gives him a certain satisfaction. Shuckles that kinegakolo is a metaphysical phenomenon. Metaphysically, it's invaluable. The Torah is invaluable on a metaphysical plane. That's a second thing. That's the objective reality. And the third is that there can actually be a psychological satisfaction as long as it's not a primary one, but it's secondary. So it's three. That's a psychological phenomenon. So one is as an objective, one is as an objective for the individual, one is objectively in terms of the Creator, and the third is psychologically. Those are the three, basically. But the idea is, the concept is that that's why they kept the Sefer in Ksuvim, because there is a solution. There is a solution, not the solution that the person is looking for, but it is a true solution. That's the pshat. Those are the three. Now, it's an interesting thing. It's an interesting thing, but the maybe you'll be able to give me the answer to this question. But you would think on the surface, and perhaps I should have asked this question first, But the Chazal say that Sof Dovar HaKol Nishmas Elokim Yirov Es Mitzvosof Shemar Ki Zeh Kol HaAdam. Okay, so that's why they kept the Sefer in Kisvei Kodesh. Yeah, but it's a funny, there's something funny about that pasuk. Something funny about that pasuk. What did the pasuk, how, there's something missing, I mean, on the surface. When you, if you want to conclude, let's say you want to conclude Kehelas. So what would you say? Okay, everything, Kol HaVarim Yigeyim and my Yisrael Adam and Havel Avolam and all the examples and everything is true. But, what we say? Sof Davar, you'd say, Sof Davar Es Elokim Ehov Ves Mitzvosav Shemar Ves Oso Tiro. I mean, he left out a very important thing. He left out Avas Hashem. What's the biggest Vahav Teisar Hashem Lekecha? I mean, first pasuk in this after Shema Yisrael, after Shema Lekecha. That's really the ultimate existence of man is Avas Hashem. So, Sof Davar, so Elokim Ahov, Voso Tiro, Ves Mitzvosof Shmar. What happened? He left it out. He left out the greatest striving of man, which is Avas Hashem. It is. It has to strike you as strange. You see, I mean, what's missing is the most important dimension of human existence, namely Avas Hashem, like the Rambam describes. That's the ultimate state is Avas Hashem. He left it out. Sof Davar Kol Nishma. He reduced it. So Akim Yirav Es Mitzvos of Shmar Ki Zeh Kol Adam. What happened to Avas Hashem? The biggest. The area which is the essential area that man's energies should be constantly occupied and preoccupied with. I mean, that's the area. He omitted it. Why did he leave it out? That's the question. It's an interesting question. What I liked is it. You know, we're talking about the area of Yiro and Ahava. And I have to thank Pacey for showing me these two areas in the Rambam. I mean, it's areas that we've gone through, but when I take a look again, I see there's something. We were discussing it recently, the Avas Hashem and Yiro Hashem and the Mitzvah and the Rambam and the Sefer Mitzvahs and the Rambam and the Yad. But these two Rambams are really very interesting. One is Masechet Avos, and one is Nemor Nevuah. Listen carefully what he says. Very interesting. So like this. He says, excuse me? Masechet Avos first. Okay. Perek Rishon Masechet Avos in the, where it says, the Rambam says that, Antignesh Yisocho, Kibo Mishimen Atzadik, Hua Yaoma Alti Kavan Mam Shamshin Sarava Manasa Kabo Pras. So the Rambam says like this. He says, "Nikra gmul shegomel la'adam l'mi she'ain lo olav chol ve'la'osa dav v'derech hasidus v'atovik mashen lo avdal of no katan lo ishto asay kach ve'etan loch dinner or shnei dinner v'zev lo main pras eschar keschar nikva b'chol." Okay, so he says, "Al tiyik var m'sham shezav v'kabel pras amnasa kabel pras." Doesn't mean amnasa kabel schar, but means pras. Pras means even more. Pras means like something that somebody gives you extra. Schar is something that you owe b'derachov. So he said, "Omar chosad hazeh, atem al tavdu es Hashem al menas sheyetiv lachem v'yaseh chesed." You shouldn't serve God because he will give you a pras. I'm not talking about schar, it's talking about pras, because pras is, in other words, al tiyu kavar m'shashar al nas kabel schar. Okay? So that's one thing. But pras is the idea of pras is a bonus. In other words, almanas sheyetiv. In other words, that the eved is looking for favor in the eyes of the adam, so to speak. You see. So he says you shouldn't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. You shouldn't relate to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that way. Schar is something which is built into the activity. You do a certain work and you get a certain payment. I mean, that he didn't say, because that's something which is factual. In other words, that would be Altir Kavod Rosham Shirav Nasakav Schar would imply that there is no schar mitzvah. I mean, you can't say that because that's just a fact. You know, it's just a fact. It's the way it is. It's a result. But Almanas L'Kabal Pras means, he used the word pras because he means that people serve God because they want God to look at them favorably and to bestow favors upon them. That's the mentality that he's trying to tell you not to engage in. Okay. That's what the Rambam says. It's significant that he didn't use the word schar, he used the word pras. Okay. Now I say like this. He says, Omar Chosid Azeh, Atem al Tavdu Asar Hashem al Manas Sheyetiv Lechem V'yasa Chesed. Then Tzassim wrote from Acha Hagmul V'ovdim B'glalo, El Avdu Kavonim Sheinim wrote from Acha Chesed V'lo Atova. Rotzo Bazeh Sheyiu Ovdim Me'ava, Kmo Shebiyanu Basiri D'Sanhejim. Okay. So he says, he was saying essentially that people serve God because they think in their mind that it's going to place them favorably in God's eyes and they'll gain something. That's wrong. But the reason why you should do it is because is me'ava, because of the love of the thing itself and the fact that that the person loves the truth, and this is the life of the pursuit of the truth. Okay. So he says, I guess. But he says, "V'yehei mar shemayim alechem." That's the conclusion of the statement. "V'yehei mar shemayim alechem." So the Rambam says, "V'im zos lo potra min hayira." He still didn't tell them that they could leave Yira. "L'fichach amar eme yoschem ovde me'avo al tanichu es hayira legamri." Don't leave the Yira completely. "V'yehei mar shemayim alechem." "L'fisha gam betar kvar nema atzivui al hayira shenema sad Hashem alakech atira." V'amru chachamim, avod me'ava, avod me'yira. V'amru, ha'oev lo yazniach es atzivoy. V'hayore lo yavar al azara. So he says that the one that's an ohev will not forsake the tzivoy. V'hayore, and the one that is afraid, lo yavar al azara. Okay, he quotes this, I don't explain too much over here. But he says, V'arei liyira tafkid gadol b'mitzvahs lo saseh u'befrat ha'mitzvahs hashmiyos. So he says that the yira is a very big place, especially in mitzvahs lo saseh, because it says v'yorei lo yavar lazhara. You see? So he says it has a very big place in mitzvahs lo saseh u'befrat ha'mitzvahs hashmiyos, especially the mitzvahs that are chukim, that don't have any reasons. Okay? It's an interesting Rambam. I mean, he's quoting the Chazal, you know, and he's explaining the Medrash, and there's no question what he's saying. But to understand it exactly, I mean, he kind of, as usual, I mean, he just directs it, but he doesn't really explain it that much. You see, in the Mar Nevuchim, in chapter 52, in the end, he explains about it a little bit more. He says like this. He says, "What I have here pointed out to you is the object of all religious acts. For by carrying out all the details of the prescribed practices and repeating them continually, some few pious men may attain human perfection." Okay? Interesting. He says they will be filled with respect and reverence towards God, and bearing in mind who is with them, they will perform their duty. Okay, God declares in plain words that it is the object of all religious acts to produce in man fear of God and obedience to his word, the state of mind which we have demonstrated in this chapter for those who desire to know the truth as being our duty to seek that state of mind. Compare, if you will not observe to do him, lasishmu lasos Kol Divrei HaTorah Hazos Paskin Dvarim, all these words that are written in this book, that you may fear this glorious and fearful name, the Lord thy God. Consider how clearly it is stated here that the only object and aim of all the words of this law, all the mitzvahs, is to make man fear the glorious and fearful name. That this end is attained by certain acts, we learn likewise from the phrase employed in this verse. If you will not observe to do, mosishmu lasos, so you see the mitzvahs, maisios,